Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. This week, I'm joined once again by Jack Howard for one of our ever popular lists, and it's a doozy. With The Rise of Skywalker coming out on DVD in April and the dust now settling on that particular Star Wars saga, Jack and I have set ourselves the task of ranking the 9 official canon Star Wars movies from the very worst to the very best. It's a crazy mission, but someone had to do it. So sit back and enjoy me and Jack ranking the Star Wars movies, worst to best.
Star Wars, we've got a list for you.
So, firstly, parameters. We're talking about canonical, right? Canonical
Skywalker saga.
Yeah, so 9 films.
Yep.
We're not doing Solo.
We can ignore
we're
that.
Not doing Rogue One.
Mostly been ignored anyway.
And sadly, we're not doing Battle for Endor, which I'm disappointed about. We're not doing, you know, Ewok Adventure 1 or 2. We're not doing the Star Wars
special.
Christmas special. That's because there are songs from that are going to live with me for a very long time. We're not doing the Clone Wars animation spin-off, which I know you wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
I know
I'm a big fan.
Big thing for you.
Yeah.
And
big influence.
Yeah. So we are just it's the 9. Okay.
The core ones.
Now I've done my order, and I
I've done my
you
order
as well.
Too. I've got it here. Don't
yeah, okay, no. Reading your homework.
How long did you spend on it?
Well, it was pretty fast because
me too.
It was like one of those things where there was a couple of little fiddles. There's one thing in there that I think you're gonna go.
I think as well on a different day I'd flip some over.
Okay. Shall we start from the worst?
Yeah, let's go worst up. And I think right now everyone's building their own lists in their head while they're listening to this.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting actually. When people do, occasionally this will just go off on Twitter where people do their actual Star Wars rankings.
Okay.
And the amount of different combinations is boggling to me. Right, okay.
Okay.
What's your bottom one?
The worst of all the Star Wars films, Attack of the Clones.
Okay. I've got The Phantom Menace at the bottom.
Okay. But
and the reason why I've got The Phantom Menace at the bottom, honestly, you could put most of the prequels in any order, and for me they're just as bad as each other. I just have no interest in them at all. But my history with Star Wars, my introduction to it was that my dad took me to see The Phantom Menace in 1999.
When it came out?
When I was 7 years old, right? I was 7 years old in 1999.
You must have been very sweet little 7-year-old.
And here we go. So we were in the cinema, and
so
watching...
you never saw Queen? Let me just get
no,
that one. You never saw Queen?
I wasn't alive in
the
70s.
No.
Right?
Never saw the Beatles.
I never shared the earth with Freddie Mercury.
No, okay.
I was born in 1992, Mark.
Yeah.
So I was in the cinema with my dad, seven years old.
Did you go to the loo or anything? Or are you all right? Have you?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go after.
Okay, fine. Go on.
Thanks for checking, though. watching The Phantom Menace with my dad. I don't know how far, I don't really remember this, but my dad tells it with such joy.
Go on.
And I hold it with pride.
Go on.
That halfway through The Phantom Menace, I turn to my dad and I go, Dad, I've had enough. Can we go now? And we leave The Phantom Menace, and I've never seen it since.
You never got to the end of it.
Never. Well, I've watched bits of The Phantom Menace.
Like, yeah, but you've never actually
watched the
whole of The Phantom Menace.
No, because even from 7 years old, I knew that the prequels weren't good for it weren't worth my time.
Okay,
I knew that.
So well, because we're on Phantom Menace, I've got Phantom Menace as number 8.
Yeah,
I've got Attack of the Clones number 9. I'll tell you why they're that way round, because the Phantom Menace story for me was, I was working at Radio 1, the nation's poptastic radio station, and we had a big competition to take a Star Wars fanatic to Los Angeles to see the first of the things. And this guy, in order to win, he basically, you know, he had to know everything about Star Wars. And he won, and we took him out to Los Angeles to the premiere at Man's Chinese. Mm-hmm. You know, big, big deal. And we drove him from the motel to the thing in a limousine. And there was all this stuff. And we were out there for like a few days doing this stuff. And I sat there and watched the film and thought, this is... But it was at the very beginning opening scroll, which was in the year Thridley Blong with the tax wars. You go, this is about your tax returns. Yeah. This is the beginning of it. There's a scroll. What?
And it's already dull.
We came out at the end of the film and this guy who was the biggest Star Wars fan who'd never been to Los Angeles in his life went, it's okay.
Oh, wow.
We go, come on, what's your reaction? You could honestly, it was like it was. You could just the disappointment on his face, and I've told this story before. Friedkin was in the screening and he fell asleep and snored, very loudly
at the premiere.
At the premiere,
brilliant.
Yeah. So it's
obviously like it's been talked about forever, but like it's full of racism and stereotypes.
Well, it's full of Jar Jar Binks.
Sorry,
who's that? Are you sir?
I'm Padme.
Lisa Jar Jar Binks.
You're a Gungan, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
How'd you end up here with us?
My no. Mesa day starting pretty okie day with a brisky morning munching, then boom! Getting very scared and grabbing that Jedi and pow! Mesa here.
But it's
also full of little Boise going yippee.
Yeah,
and in the fandom edit, they take all that out. Mm-hmm. They take out Jar Jar Binks and take out things.
Okay, and every location CGI, like everything's green screen and blue screen.
Every story point is not interesting.
Every shot is still, and then every action scene is whoa!
Oh, pod racing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
So have you got? Is Attack of the Clones number?
Yeah, so Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Okay, so wait, fine. So that's 9 and 8.
Oh, wow. Oh, this is where I may be surprised.
Okay, yeah, number 7.
Number 7, I've got Revenge of the Sith. And I assume you, let me guess, I assume you have got The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Well chosen. Yeah.
And this is a really odd thing to say because I like The Rise of Skywalker, okay? Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pants.
It is.
And the reason it's pants...
It's a slap in the face.
...is because... we've done this before, but, you know, this is plot spoiler-tastic, is because it undoes everything that The Last Jedi did that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And although I thought Rise of Skywalker was terrifically good fun, it is essentially nonsense.
Yeah, I think that I've got a lot of opinions about The Rise of Skywalker, and we won't spend all our time on it, but Rise of Skywalker, I couldn't invest in it. I was like objectively watching it at the premiere. I was at the premiere. Me and Dean from the comedy duo I'm in.
You're in a comedy duo with Jack and Dean?
Yeah.
Do they do stuff on video?
We do, on YouTube. Sketch comedy.
Did you have dinner with Ron Howard recently?
Yeah. Well, that was a while ago.
I've been in one of your sketches.
You have, yeah.
And my own son didn't recognise me. I had a cameo in one of your videos.
Such a good joke as well. You're playing Dean's inner critic.
That's right.
And some people just don't quite get that how funny that joke is. And it's always good.
He's my child. Yeah. I mean, he didn't recognise my voice. And we should point out, incidentally, the only reason I know you is because my child
was a fan. Yeah.
So there we go. That's a weird one. So yeah. Okay. So I've got Rise of Skywalker at number 7. You've got.
I've got. Rise of Skywalker at number...
Yeah, but you've got Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith at number 7.
Because I think all the prequels... They're all just a bit... But I think Revenge of the Sith is like the one with the most story and the most interesting stuff happens, but it still has some weird thing. Like the bit when he goes, this has all been talked to death, but the bit when he goes, I have the high ground, I win, that's never been established in any Star Wars ever. And yet, for some reason, when people talk about The Last Jedi and all the things that The Last Jedi does with the Force and the things that it introduces with the Force and whatever, they're like, oh, that's never been established before. But it's the Force. It's a magical thing. It can develop and change however you see fit.
What, you mean it's not real? It's a fictional thing that can be changed by writers?
I don't know about
how people see it.
Yeah, I know.
Did you know there was a ruling... this is a real thing. There was a ruling in the UK, not too distant, right? Yeah, in which they ruled that Jedism is not a religion. It actually was ruled.
Human adults had to sit around and talk about
whether or not Jedism is a religion, because obviously, therefore, it means is it tax exempt? But it has been decided officially by law that being a Jedi is not an official religious position.
Yeah,
but in America, being a Scientologist is, and that I think tells you everything you need to know. Oh, and incidentally, if you are a Scientologist, don't send me an angry letter. Just unsubscribe, okay? You're in the wrong. I'm in the right. We're never going to meet in the middle. just go away and bother somebody else, all right? Just to be absolutely clear.
This is so unpredictable. I didn't expect that Scientology thing to come up during this Star Wars discussion. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, well,
you know. At least something original is happening in this Star Wars discussion.
Okay, fine. Just to be absolutely clear, I have no time for Scientology. It's a cult. You know, it's a science fiction author finding a tax dodge. And if you are a member of it and was, you know, respect for everyone's religion, get stuffed. OK, I want nothing to do with you. Please don't write to me. Moving on.
I have Rise of Skywalker next.
So, OK, so at number six, you have Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. Okay. I'm feeling a lot of stuff about Rise of Skywalker at the moment. And it's almost like a courtesy that it's there. I'm like, I wanted to put it lower than Revenge of the Sith, but I like would rather watch Rise of Skywalker because it's technically a beautifully made piece of cinema.
Okay. It is, yes.
It is so beautifully put together. J.J. Abrams has got a voice for cinema. He knows how to move a camera, he knows where to block people, he knows all that stuff. He gets decent performances out of people. I think that Daisy Ridley especially, it's her best performance out of all the Star Wars movies, I think.
She's great.
Every single one of her lines, every single bit of emotion hits. I think that in some of the other ones that she's in, the other two, sometimes she's a bit shaky on some moments. Personally, I find that. But God, yes, it's pants. And that is such a great way of talking about it. It's so pants. And it just is a slap in the face. It is. I don't care what Chris Terrio and J.J. Abrams say after the fact about the fact that there were so many things that were cut out and the moment where she hears all the Jedi voices. It was supposed to be cameos from all the other people. Doesn't matter. That wouldn't have made it any better. It would actually, when I heard the voice, I was predicting it to be, you know, like the bit in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows when he's surrounded by all the ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
I was predicting that would be a moment in Rise of Skywalker where she'd be, you know, Mace Windu and stuff would be there and she'd be like, who are you? Like, she doesn't know any of these people, but they'd be there, like, because everyone in the audience knows who they are. But I was pleasantly surprised to see that it was just a voice thing. I was like, oh, that's a classy way of doing it. Mm-hmm. I quite enjoyed that. But holy crap, the reversal of Rey being from nowhere is maybe... I was like, there's no way they're going to
do it. You and I are completely on the same page about this. Incidentally, if you're a regular listener, you will have heard this. But if you're not, go back to a couple of podcasts ago when Jack and I did we were talking about exactly this kind of Rey from Nowhere issue.
Yeah, and it deeply, deeply upsets me. I think it says so much about who they're making the film for. I think that they've basically taken it away from the hands of a new generation who could have accepted it as like, I can be a Jedi, anyone can be special, and they've put it back into the hands.
No, you can't.
Of the older, older generation. Yeah. Gone, no, you're the important one.
I know. And you and I feel exactly the same way about this.
I wish I didn't care.
The moment at the end of Rise of Skywalker, the moment at the end of Last Jedi, when the kid holds the thing up, which I loved.
Yeah.
And I just love that idea that it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter who you are. And Rey from Nowhere was my favourite character, and Rey from Somewhere is my least favourite because I'm so disappointed it's not Rey from Nowhere.
It upsets me now when I see pictures of her and I'm like, I know who you are now and I don't like it. All that stuff is one of the big, something that's not being discussed enough about Rise of Skywalker. This is the last thing I'll say.
Something that hasn't been discussed enough about Rise
of Skywalker? This is something that hasn't been discussed enough.
Wow.
Here we go.
Okay.
I swear this hasn't been discussed enough.
Okay.
But, and this is the last thing I'll say about it and then we'll move on. I'll be here all day.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a surprise for you next anyway. No, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in The Rise of Skywalker, Poe Dameron says, when we had the Battle of Crait and no one showed up, and there was no hope in the galaxy, no one came to help us. Poe, yes they did. Luke Skywalker came and single-handedly...
That's right, yes,
won against all those AT-ATs and inspired hope in the universe.
Although technically, he wasn't actually there.
But that's the thing, that's the brilliance of it, because it's the Wizard of Oz thing. We got to see behind the curtain and see the man that he was, but he got to become the legend that he always... Yeah.
No, listen, I completely agree with you because I love that ending. I love that thing. And the moment when I realised I did the same thing. And I know that when you watch it again, you go, no footprints.
Yeah, so brilliant. It's such a brilliant piece of filmmaking because you don't notice it the first time.
Absolutely.
And it bothers me because the ending of the Last Jedi is that hope has been inspired in the universe. Those kids that you're talking about, they're all telling the story, but they're telling the versions of the story that we think we should have got. Like the fanboys that hate it, they wanted that version of the story. They wanted Luke Skywalker to come out and single-handedly take on the whole of the First Order. But he can't do that because he's just a man. But he can use all of his power.
Also, he's on an island in Scotland.
Yeah, so, you know, island. An island,
I beg your pardon.
But that really bothers me because it starts the Rise of Skywalker in a place that The Last Jedi didn't leave it. And then not only does it do that, it then continues to do that by Kylo Ren being like, well, they were no one because they chose to be. That's the way around it. Oh, like proper. If I was Rian Johnson watching that, I don't know how I'd feel because like me as just a fan who'd invested in this story. Because we're quite similar. We weren't that into Star Wars until The Force Awakens.
No, absolutely, yeah.
So I feel like I've been lured in and now I feel embarrassed that I cared so much about it in 2015 and now here we are in 2020 and I know what the end of the story is and I feel like, why on earth did I give myself, why did I let myself be excited and care about that thing when you were just going to fuck me over? Like, that's how it felt watching that stuff. Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
People can say what they like about Star Wars, and believe me, I've been sniffy enough about it in the past, but the fact is, the level of personal investment is really important. And this brings me now to, okay, so 9, I was Attack of the Clones, 8, Phantom Menace, 7, Rise of Skywalker. You were 9, Phantom Menace, 8, Attack of the Clones, 7,
Revenge of the Sith.
And at number 6, you
had Rise of Skywalker.
And I have Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Because I think that Return of the Jedi is not as good as Revenge of the Sith, which I have at number 5. And I'll tell you why. And this is absolutely to do with that, you know, the personal thing, okay? So I remember seeing Clerks when it first came out, and there's the whole conversation in Clerks about Empire versus Jedi, and there's the famous line, which I think is probably the best thing Kevin Smith ever wrote, which was, it's just a bunch of Muppets. And he's right, it is just a bunch of Muppets. And it does have the ending with the dancing in heaven, you know, CGI version, whichever version you want, it has that ending, okay? Yes. And it is just a bunch of Muppets. There's a lovely story that David Lynch was offered to direct it.
And he was like, I can't do this.
He got a headache. He said he got to Skywalker Ranch and he got a headache the moment he arrived there. And then he had lunch with George Lucas and his headache got worse and worse. And then George Lucas started showing him all the characters and he said he just thought he was going to have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And he had to say, I can't do this. And this is why I keep saying to Mark Jenkins, he's made bait, have they offered you a Star Wars yet? Because you make a good film, you know, at some point they'll offer you a Star Wars. The thing for me is, Return of the Jedi is, you know, it's a bit like... Blah, blah, blah.
It's a bit like A New Hope again.
Okay, now, Revenge of the Sith, and believe me, I was really down on all the prequels, so I was surprised that Revenge of the Sith came in at number 5 for me and not, you know, at number 7. I remember really clearly how upset my son was at Anakin has killed younglings. And I think there is something, at least Revenge of the Sith actually does something dark.
It's a bit out of nowhere, though.
It is a bit out of nowhere, and the film itself is baggy and all over the place. But two things. Firstly, the score is brilliant.
Obviously.
No, but not obviously, because, you know, there's an assumption that all Star Wars scores are great, but the Revenge of the Sith score is actually really great. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is something about the beginning of the transition that is actually genuinely much darker than I thought it was at the time. Mm. And I think it may even come down to Anakin has killed younglings, but the idea of that is so horrible. It's the first moment in any of those things up until that point that you get the sense of, oh my God, this is actually nasty. Mm-hmm. And then they end up fighting on the lava and I don't care so much. Yeah. And, you know, and then
he loses all his legs, gets
the bucket put on his head and blah, 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 blah. But I do think that there is at its core something. Yeah. And I think it's technically all over the place. I think it's baggy. I think George Lucas couldn't direct traffic. Mm-hmm. But I think there is something about that central idea that for me puts it above Return of the Jedi, in that it has got a heart, a dark heart in there, whereas Return of the Jedi is a bunch of Muppets.
I think you're right, and I think that this is what I think a lot of the fans of the prequels have been holding on to, is that the central story and the idea of it is really interesting.
Yes, it is.
But the execution of it isn't great.
It's all over the place.
I think that so I have Return of the Jedi next. After Rise of Skywalker, I have Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so in fact, we're kind of in...
We're in a similar place. Yeah. But Return of the Jedi, for me, is like... I think the beginning is pretty fun. Like the speed races or whatever they are, I can't remember what they're called, but where they're speeding through the forest, has aged pretty well. Like, I don't think it's been enhanced much by CGI or if at all. And I think it's pretty fun and exciting still. Then it slows down and yeah, there's a bunch of Muppets in it. But then I think the ending conflict with him and Vader is still pretty compelling. Like it lasts a lot longer than you think it does. Like it goes on for a while with them two just facing off against each other. It really gives it space. So I think it's the baggiest of the original trilogy, but I think it is better than Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably is better, but I actually, the more I think about Revenge of the Sith, the more I think it's it's a better film than I gave it credit for. And I'm just aware it's very easy to just knock all the prequels into the rubbish category. And again, I think it's that thing about seeing the movie with different eyes, seeing the effect. I mean, I have to confess this about Jojo Rabbit. When people tell me how much Jojo Rabbit affected them, I have to look at the film slightly differently because it didn't affect me in that way.
Yeah.
But I have now actually gone back and watched Revenge of the Sith, because you know there was a whole thing originally that when Return of the Jedi was coming out, it was announced as being called Revenge of the Jedi.
Correct. So it was originally called Return of the Jedi, and then they changed it to Revenge of the Jedi, and there was a trailer.
And then Lucas did this whole thing about saying Jedi don't ever get. Yeah. So there was it's weird that those two things.
But I also like Return of the Jedi is a classic Star Wars title as well, because it reveals why it's called that, and because it's about Darth Vader.
Mm.
And I like that. I just like that title being. It's the same as like The Last Jedi, is confirmed that it's about Rey.
Yeah.
Like because Luke gives her. I just like that it's got some. It's got poetic sort of like meaning to it. Yeah. Whereas Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Is just. It's because we called one Return of the Jedi, we're going to call this one Revenge of the Sith. So it feels a little bit less like it's actually about what the film's about.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
There was something else going on in Jedi. I never noticed it till today. They built another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where credit's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments of Lando Calrissian.
Something just never sat right with me that second time around. I could never put my finger on it, but something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out.
The first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army. The only people on board were stormtroopers, dignitaries, Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even done being built yet. It was still under construction.
So?
So a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I'll bet they brought independent contractors in on that thing. Plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
And not just Imperials, is that what you're getting at?
Exactly.
Now, interestingly enough, we have the same pack to play from as we get into the top four.
Top four, here we go.
At number four.
A New Hope. First?
Yeah, oh. Well done.
Yeah, I was going to say at the same time, yes.
Well done. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think A New Hope isn't as good as people... I think it's fine. Like, it's really messy. It's really weirdly constructed. Like, you follow those droids for way too long. And, like, why are we following these? Why do they separate at the beginning? George, why did you write that? Like, it's such a bizarre thing to do at the very start of your film. It is yeah, but you're all imagine, over the place.
You're imagining a level of narrative coherence that is really not.
No.
You
know. And
I always wonder about how much when Lucas was making Star Wars, how much he genuinely did have everything, because it was never called Episode 4 until the re-release.
It was just called Star Wars.
Yeah, it was called Star Wars. And then the Episode 4 was a, you know, was it
that a 90s thing?
Yeah, it must have been called A New Hope. Was it not called A New Hope even? Was it just Star Wars?
It was just called Star Wars.
So when did the New Hope thing happen?
It must have been the 90s. I think it must have been when they were doing
one of the video releases.
Yeah, I've got to imagine it was on the when they knew they were going to do prequels. I imagine they did it then, because it was always called Star Wars.
So, okay, fine. So I think Star Wars is fine. When the reissues happened, I went to see it in the cinema, and I thought, this is good romping fun. When it first came out, of course, I didn't like it, because I was in that period of my life when it was, you know, Solaris, Silent Running, Soylent Green, science fiction begins, films beginning with S.
Yeah.
That were clever. And
Space,
you know,
Odyssey.
Exactly. and I didn't like, you know, laser guns in space, I wasn't particularly interested in Buck Rogers, and I thought it was very silly. Mm-hmm. And then I grew out of that, and I sort of thought, oh, actually, no, it's a good fun, you know, 1930s 40s serial romp.
There's things as well that, like, that it is fun to watch, but there are things in it that are like odd. Like, Luke is so whiny, and there's a bit in it, right, where he has to find out that his aunt and uncle have been killed, right, and he zooms back to his house, sees skeletons on the floor, and then zooms back the other way, and then mourns with Obi-Wan. He's like, oh, they're dead. It's so bizarrely put together that it's aged so badly in so many ways that I can't watch it now with any sense of, like, escapism, because I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Right.
But I think if you watch it as a kid and grow up with it, there's, like, a sense of nostalgia. Like, there's a warmth to it that you watch, and you just feel safe when you're watching it. I don't have that, so I watch it very objectively as an entertaining film. And I'm like, no, not really. It's a bit all over the place. I think that the things that people say about The Force Awakens being basically a remake of A New Hope, I'm like, yeah, it is, but I think it's a better version of it.
Okay, and which in that case brings us to
number three, The Force Awakens.
Electrical overload.
I can fix that.
Coolant's leaking.
Try transferring auxiliary power to secondary tank.
I got it.
Chewie, come on! I need help with this giant hairy thing! Stop moving!
You hurt Chewie, you're gonna deal with me!
Hurt him? He almost killed me 6 times! Which is fine!
This hyperdrive blows are gonna be pieces of us in 3 different systems.
What'd you do?
I bypassed the compressor.
Huh.
Fantastic. Well done. Well done. This is great. This is okay, so yeah, Force Awakens is better than Star Wars.
I think it is, yeah.
Because it makes more sense, and it's better directed.
It is.
And it's got a better script.
Yep.
And it zip zang booms along.
So
and it was
exciting.
The first Star Wars film that actually made me think, oh, I really like this. I get it now.
And
I
the way
that I'm there.
The Rise of Skywalker to me plays out fully like a fan film. It feels like a committee of Twitter and Reddit users wrote The Rise of Skywalker. Okay. I think that The Force Awakens was a little bit panned for feeling a bit nostalgic-y and, you know, and things like that. I didn't bother me at all. Like, no, the pan to the Millennium Falcon.
Chewie, we're home.
Yeah, all that stuff. It
loved
made it. Sense. Like, it didn't feel too much like the pan to the Millennium Falcon and it going when you first see it again is, like, exciting.
Yeah.
But the moment in The Rise of Skywalker when you find out that Chewie is safe, and it's played, the music is telling you this is heroic, but he's also been captured and is a prisoner. It's like, this is so conflicting, because you just want me to be grateful that he's alive, but he is still in danger, but now I don't feel like he is in danger because you've told me he's fine.
Yeah.
It's, like,
but the thing, okay, but
that's the difference between those films.
But the thing with Rise of Skywalker, and I think you were the
point. We're back.
You coined this phrase, which was, Rian Johnson would have killed Chewbacca.
That was my friend Sammy that said
okay,
that.
Okay, fine. Well, that
was you quoting me, but I was like, the thing that I said was, it's a trilogy without a second part.
Yeah, no, that's right. But I cited you in both, but Rian Johnson would have killed Chewbacca.
Yeah, he would.
And
yeah.
That was, it was the moment when, he's dead. No, he's not.
And that's
wipe the memory. No, he hasn't.
That's the Rise of Skywalker.
He's dead. No, he's back.
No consequences.
She's dead. Oh, no, she's fine.
Do you know, this is the thing as well that's frustrating about it, is that there clearly is a thing in the first act of Rise of Skywalker of Rey being afraid of who she is. Like, Leia point blank says it to her.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bit when they go under the sand and they meet that brilliant, like, snaky worm thing. It's so brilliant. Like, I can't tell if it's a puppet or CGI, but it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And then she approaches it with kindness and heals it. And that to me was just like, oh, if you approach things that seem dangerous and treat it with love and care, they may not. And the same thing goes with that little robot who's like, please don't, no, the new one that's voiced by J.J. Abrams. Like, it's okay, you're with us now.
I think it is.
Okay. Which my mate pointed out is so brilliant that the moment when, I think it's when someone dies or C-3PO gets his memory wiped or something like that.
And gets it back.
Yeah, and gets it back. The little robot goes, sad. Which is the director telling you what the scene should feel like. Brilliant. But yeah, like that moment when Rey is meeting things that are nervous of her, or they've been mistreated, or they seem evil, and then she treats them with kindness. I was like, okay, we're going somewhere with this. She's afraid that that's what she is. Yeah. But then it never comes to fruition. It's like all this thematic stuff that's there that I'm like, why is it there then? Why did you do that? Like, I know that you're going, oh, she might go to the dark side, but I never believed that she would. She was always just nice. Yeah. Anyway,
okay. So
Force Awakens is number three.
It's really good. So now, okay, so...
Here we go.
The chances, do you want to do it together?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so it's a number two, and I'll go 3, 2, 1, okay? At number two, 3, 2, 1, Last Jedi. Empire Strikes Back. I wrestled with this.
So I think this top three, I could maybe even put Force Awakens above Empire Strikes Back, and I could maybe put Empire Strikes Back above The Last Jedi on different days.
I think Force Awakens would always be three, but Last Jedi and Empire Strikes Back at one and two, and I really did wrestle with this. And part of me just went, I want to put Last Jedi because it'll annoy people.
That's my job.
Yeah, no, I know.
Last Jedi is number one, deal with it.
But so that's it. I think the thing is, we are both agreed that it is that they are interchangeable.
Yes.
They are both the best of what Star Wars is. Okay. So let's do Empire first, okay? So Empire of the early, I mean, there's nothing controversial about this.
No.
It's the best one.
It is.
It's the one that makes sense. It's the one that's emotionally engaging. It's the one that's got something like memorable at the heart of it. And it's the one that makes you go, oh yeah, actually this stuff has got heft and you know, interesting ideas to it, and it's
got twists and turns. Like the moment that always still gets me is when the doors open and Darth Vader's just in the room and Lando has led them to Darth Vader. Yeah. And I'm always like, oh, like, I always forget that, like, it just happens. Like it's really, really great, and they make Darth Vader so much more scary than he is in A New Hope.
Yeah.
It's so much better shot and put together. It still holds up, and thank God the re-releases haven't messed with Empire as much as they messed with A New Hope.
What have they done with it?
In Empire, there's one sweeping shot through Lando's planet. I can't remember where he lives. That's gone out of my head. Please forgive me, Star Wars nerds. But there's one sweeping shot where it like sweeps through like the city, and it's like this very CGI shot, and then it just cuts to 80s filmmaking again. And I'm like, why did you? What's that about? Like, why do you think that's made your film better? But I think that it's great. The introduction of Yoda, you have to remind yourself now, you're not supposed to know that that's Yoda. Like when I watched it with my sister recently, she hadn't seen it before. I was like, you're not supposed to know that's Yoda.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And because then he reveals himself throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How could you know my father? You don't even know who I am. No, I don't even know what I'm doing here. We're wasting our time.
I cannot teach him. The boy has no patience.
He will learn patience.
Much anger in him. Like his father.
Was I any different when you taught me?
He is not ready.
Yoda.
And this is another thing that leads me into sort of the Last Jedi territory is... people complaining about Luke Skywalker being a bit different in The Last Jedi. Imagine if you watched them in narrative order and you're introduced to Yoda in the prequels, who's this very calm, you know, reserved character who occasionally breaks out flips around. And my Dean's dad has the best joke about that when Yoda...
Dean from Jack and Dean.
His dad makes an amazing joke about this, that like when he's limping around with his little cane and then all of a sudden he whips out a lightsaber and he's jumping all over the place. Yeah. Dean's dad goes, tax dodging bastard. So yeah, imagine if you saw him and then you saw him in Empire, you'd be like, they've ruined Yoda.
But also that thing always reminds me of that thing in The Prestige when The twist is it's not what's on stage. The twist is off stage. The twist is he's not that guy. He's not the old guy. He can actually, he's Baby Yoda jumping around.
Yeah, Baby Yoda.
Oh God, that's a weird one. And again, you know, that's the whole Laura Dern. Anyway, let's not even go there. Yeah. So, yeah, so fine. I think that Empire is great. I feel more immediately passionate at the moment about Last Jedi because it's more recent.
Yeah, me too.
And because I think that in terms of the radical ideas that it has, the more I think about it, and again, you were very on top of this. You were the person who said the further away we get from it, the more we appreciate what it did. Mm-hmm. And I reviewed it in the paper, and I think I gave it 4 stars. And I think that nowadays, I think just in terms of I still think there are things.
I'd give it 4. I think
still things in it that are a bit shonky, and you know, the gambling planet stuff.
That stuff, like, it doesn't work because like Finn's being explained how to feel about war, but he's a guy who grew up as a stormtrooper, and surely he should have more feelings and opinions on this. So that feels a little bit like feels a bit off to me.
Yeah. So there are things that are wrong with it, but the things that are right with it, and this is actually the same with Empire, the things that are right with it are so right that it does. So in terms of if you're actually talking about moving the narrative forward, and then I think the response that Last Jedi got from the people that don't like it, and the kind of unwriting of it. You know, there was a whole thing about there was a petition at one point to get Disney to remove Last Jedi from the official canon. Star Wars canon. And in a way,
they've got it.
They did it. That's what Rise of Skywalker did. It kind of went, it's all right, it's
great.
Fine.
Now nobody's happy.
Now, that's right. That's right. Now everyone's pissed off. But I still think that there are things in Rise of Skywalker, I mean, just visual things. I think
In Last Jedi,
I think that, you know, the salt planet with the red underfoot. So I just think that will stay with me for a long time.
It's also like it's basically, this is my problem with people's problems with The Last Jedi is Luke Skywalker. I think that what did you want, like, at the end of Force Awakens for her to hand him the lightsaber and for him to go, great, let's go fight.
Because that's right, let's save the universe.
And people wanted him, and I think JJ wanted him to be on this island and studying the ancient ways of the Jedi. That's not compelling. That's not interesting drama. There's nothing happening there. But making him this bitter old man who's basically, well, I like the metatextual narrative, which is that he's seen the prequels and gone, fuck this shit. Like, and also he's right, because like the Jedi are not cool in that, and he basically talks about, there's that speech where he says at the height of their power they made way for Darth Sidious, and then it was a Jedi who trained Darth Vader. Like, they fucked up. Like, he's point blank talking about how the Jedi haven't got a great legacy.
Yeah,
and the film is addressing that, which is interesting. But also, Luke Skywalker is still a scared little boy who needs to learn a lesson from a little green alien. And that's what happens. He meets Rey, dismisses her entirely, doesn't want anything to do with her. The little green alien shows up and goes, you need to learn a lesson. And he goes, damn it, you're right. And he's still, and that's it. And that, how can you be mad that he's still Luke Skywalker in the exact same way he was in Empire?
Why? Because people are crazy.
I want to see him lift the X-Wing out of the water. Yeah, exactly. I want to see that. Shut up. Like, there's so much more interesting stuff happening.
I failed you, Ben. I'm sorry.
I'm sure you are. The resistance is dead. The war is over. And when I kill you, I will have killed the last Jedi.
Amazing. Every word of what you just said was wrong.
All right, so look, what I think's amazing is actually how close our lists were.
Yeah.
So, do you want to do? Should we just recap? So,
go ahead.
So for me, 9, Attack of the Clones.
Me, The Phantom Menace.
8 for me, Phantom Menace.
Attack of the Clones.
7 for me, Rise of Skywalker.
Revenge of the Sith.
6 for me, Return of the Jedi.
Me, Rise of Skywalker.
5, Revenge of the Sith.
Me, Return of the Jedi.
4, Star Wars.
Star Wars or A New Hope.
Yeah. 3. Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
And then 2 for me, Last Jedi, and 1, Empire Strikes Back, and for you,
Empire Strikes Back, and then The Last Jedi.
I think we're on very similar pages.
I think we're on the right side of history, Mark.
I want to ask you one last question.
Please.
Before we sort of finally put this to bed. One of the things that I always thought was one of the funniest jokes in Star Wars, which nobody other than me ever seemed to find funny, was that Mace Windu falls out of a window. Am I the only person who thought that that was a funny thing?
No, that is funny.
Nobody.
Because it's a language joke.
I know. It's
you just, have to say it.
It's like Mace Windu went out the window. There we go. All right. Well, thanks. Like I said, get in touch. Let us know what you know. What your list would be. Canonical only, please. You can tweet me at Kermode Movie. You can tweet Jack at
Jack Howard.
How did you get your? I tried to go for at Mark Kermode. Somebody else said it? Okay.
I was on Twitter.
You were an early adopter.
I couldn't believe it. I never get Jack Howard anywhere.
No, okay. At Jack Howard or at Kermode Movie, and let us know what your order would be.
And let us know if there's anything else you want us to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also go to the Patreon page. You just Google Kermode on Film and Patreon. It will take you there. And then there's exclusive video stuff and, you know, just more general hanging
more
out.
More of it.
More of it. But with me and Jack.
Just a bit more of it.
Yeah. And Mace Windu falling out the window.
Let's never talk about Star Wars again.
Ever
now.
Again. Okay. Well, there we are. That was me and Jack Howard ranking the 9 official canon Star Wars movies from the very worst to the very best. How do you think we did? I'm sure you have your own list. Let me know. You can get in touch through Twitter. It's at Kermode Movie. If you've enjoyed the podcast, remember to subscribe and tell your friends. And why not visit our Patreon page, which has a load of additional content, including some exclusive video. Thanks for listening. Keep watching the skies.